Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest, my boy Malcolm, my boy Yves Santana, Mr. Santana himself. It's a pleasure to have you on this podcast, and it's an honor to have you here, brother.
For sure. Appreciate you inviting me through, man. This means a lot. Good to see you again. Good to catch up again. So I can't wait for today, man.
Man, I've known Malcolm since we were kids playing travel basketball. It's crazy. It's been a long time since I've seen you too, probably since like junior or senior year of high school.
It's been a while. It's been a long time because I think the last time I really ran into you was probably during high school basketball.
Yeah. It's crazy, and I'm definitely blessed to still stay connected, and it's a blessing to see you on this journey. But to give you a proper intro, man, you're a well-known artist in the Cleveland area, man. You are doing your thing.
Appreciate it.
And, last month, your three-part documentary dropped out. Yep. It was called 3-6 Lives, The Art of Yves Santana dropped. I'm saying it right,
Yves? Yeah, Yves.
Yep. Perfect.
That's rare. A lot of people always butcher that up. That was the first time.
Come on, man. You know I had to do my research.
I got you. I appreciate that.
Of course, brother. So what was it like seeing your whole journey laid out like that? And what do you hope people walk away with after watching it?
Yeah. Start off like that. That meant a lot to me to have my story out there. I always vouch for artists expressing themselves and doing that loudly and expressing where they come from, their background. I think it's really good for other people to be able to connect with that. So just to be able to get that out, shout out to my coworker Matt as well too. I don't even know if I want to call him my coworker. We work together, but that's what he does. You know, as far as his production and his video skills. So it was a really big blessing to work with him, and it's nice to work with people who are very passionate about their craft. So he made that whole journey really easy for me. It was really laid back, gave me the mic and just let me be myself. So that meant a lot to just get my story out there. A lot of people don't know so many small aspects of my life, of where I grew up at or and how that influences my artwork. So he was able to touch on a couple topics that I haven't talked about, even to the point where I was getting emotional talking about some things because I haven't been able to discuss it out loud. So that meant a lot, man. It was a really good time. It took about a month and a half just for us to, you know, find the time in between work or our own personal schedules, and we found the time to do it, and it ended up being really, really good. Great product.
Dude, it was awesome, like, to watch, bro. I was locked in the whole time. Even like the audio was clear. Yeah. Even like the pictures were awesome.
If you saw his setup that he had, like, we were supposed to meet up one day, and I had forgot the key to my dad's house. We were supposed to go inside, and I was supposed to walk him through and all of that. And we stayed outside. It was snowing. It was freezing. I forgot my key. I'm trying to figure it out. He was like, you know what? Let's just do it. So he came through, and we got what we could, and we worked with what we could. So he made it work, and like I said, he made it real easy. Came up with the questions. It was even a couple of times he went off script and was like, I'm really passionate. So he made it a really good time. It was cool, man.
Yeah, dude. Like, sure. The one thing that I thought was super interesting was at the end of every act, mm-hmm. it said, "Thank you to all of our believers and haters."
Yeah,
I was like thinking about that. I was like, wow, like, you know what, you really should thank the haters too, even the ones that doubt you.
Got to, man. It's important to first acknowledge that not everybody is going to agree with your body of work. That's bound to happen. It's 8 billion people and you can't impress everybody. So I think it's really important to acknowledge the people who are there for you, who do encourage you. But I think it's also cool to keep a chip on your shoulder as well too. You got more to prove. It's more that I can do. It's people over here who say I can't do it. That's more of a reason for me to do it. I think that's really important. You got to keep in both. Keep your head in both spaces. But yeah, man, that was. I didn't even notice that until you had brought it up.
Yeah.
Like, just now, like, I didn't even know that. I got to go back and watch it. So,
yeah, come on, bro.
For sure, power, man.
So in Act 1 of 3-6 Lives, you open up about your homelessness and your relationship with your mom.
Yep.
So how did those moments shape the emotional honesty we see in your artwork today?
Sure. Around my sophomore year, me and my mom had left a really abusive household. And she, mind you, she's from California. She's got no family out here. So it's just me and her.
Wow.
So, you know, me and her bounced from place to place, house to house, up until my senior year. She was working 3 jobs at a time. And even in the midst of all of that, she told me not to worry about nothing other than trying to be the best student that I can. All I had to do was just show up, get good grades, show up to school, make sure everything was fine. Not even great grades. I just had to pass, you know, and she was really encouraging even in the midst of what she had going on. So, you know, it humbled me a lot. It made me kind of take a step back because everything was stripped away. So it showed me what the privileges that I did have, because I still did go to a really good school. I still had really good family and friends around me who were willing to take me in, who were willing to help me out. And I think that it kind of gave me that balance of knowing that at one glance, everything can be taken away. But even in the midst of it being taken away, I'm still able to recognize what I still have available to me. So, that I really say will build me up. And it's to the point now, like, there's nothing that can be, I always tell myself, like, it can't get no worse than that. And if it does get any worse than that, I know that I'm capable of pulling myself out of that situation because I've done it before. So, you know, as long as I lean on the people that's around me, I'll always be fine. So I got to take that into my artwork, take that into just my everyday life. Like, I always know that I'll be able to handle myself because I've been through it before. But yeah, man.
And, you know, like, you know, I feel like if you don't go through those hard times, like, you're not going to know how to, you know, experience, you know, these sufferings that we go through in life.
Man.
But, you know, for example, my mom, she's like my everything. Like, right. I love my mom so much, man. Yep. And it's like, you know, like when you see your mom upset, or you see your family just around you, just going through her, going through pain, like, you do everything you can just to be by their side and help them get through their journey. Like, even like some of like my best friends, you know, I feel like a lot of people like close to us really don't tell us what's going on in their life. And eventually you kind of just have to wait and see until they're ready to tell you.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, once you know that, you know, they're suffering and they're going through stuff, you know, you're doing everything that you can to help them. And like, it's just so important just to be by, you know, your closest people in your life's side.
I agree. And it's crazy too, because like, I've had so many situations where I haven't had friends tell me what's going on and they suffering or they going through X, Y, and Z. So I always felt like it was, even in the chances of doing this podcast or of doing my documentary from last month, it sometimes just from feedback from other people, it just serves as being a voice for other people. Sometimes people don't have the opportunity to say anything. Sometimes people can't leave their abusive relationships or households or things like that. And I think that me being that vessel for other people sometimes just it makes me feel like everything that I went through was worth it, because I'm now able to shine a light on people who may not have been as fortunate or as lucky or, you know, even live to even explain their story, right? So I think that those moments are really important for me, and it's important for me to talk about my story. Not everybody gets the chance to, so you know, I gotta make sure that I remain grateful that I am able to explain what happened to me, or I am able to say I'm on the other side and the grass is greener now because I made it greener, right? So it's things like that that just mean a lot to me to be able to shed light on.
Yeah, and like one thing in your documentary that you mentioned, you just talked about, you know, people may, you know, doubt me. No matter if you do me wrong, like, I'm always gonna get to the other side.
Yeah.
I'm always gonna, you know, prove myself and just get better each and every day. And it's like, yeah, you know what? People may hurt me. People may say things to me, but it's like, okay, I'm not gonna let that, you know, bother me. I'm just gonna keep on moving. I'm gonna keep on doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Because kind of like how you were saying, there's 8 billion people in this world. Someone's gonna hate on you. Someone's gonna talk down on you.
Right. So it's inevitable. And I think that that's important to take into everyday life. Again, it allows you to, okay, focus on the people who aren't doing me wrong or who are really there for me and have my back. And the people who aren't, those people are also going to exist. That's also going to happen. But it's just really important to acknowledge, A, you know, not to become the people who did hate on you, right? Because you continue that cycle over and over and over again. And I think it's really important to break that cycle up as much as you can and acknowledge both. Acknowledge that you do have haters, acknowledge that you do have people who are there for you, and take that at face value and just keep doing what you got to do. But yeah, man, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, dude. Awesome. So now, going back to Act 2, you had a painting called Draymond. Like, what, bro? Aren't you like a big Cavs fan?
For sure. I definitely am. But I'm gonna be honest with you. My mom is from the Bay Area. So she grew up in Oakland, California, San Francisco, Antioch, that whole area. So I got a lot of Bay Area roots in me. Just music that we played growing up as a kid. And, you know, her whole family out there. We go out there and we visit it every once in a while when we could. So on one end, my my dad is from Cleveland. My mom is from, you know, Cali. So especially when the Warriors and the Cavs was going back and forth, I was just free to choose whoever I wanted to. If the Cavs won that year, I was a Cavs fan. The Warriors won that year, I was a Warriors fan. So it was cool. I was kind of able to get both worlds of that.
Oh, my gosh. Dope. So walk us through what you were feeling when you created that painting. Yeah. And what does Draymond represent in piece?
I started to experiment more with the styles of drawings that I was doing. And I noticed that I will always do these faces in repetition. No matter what, like I can never get these faces out of my mind. I always want to draw them. Whenever I get a piece of paper or I have nothing to do, like that's the first thing that I go to, even still now. So I tried to figure out a way that I can expand that universe as much as I can, rather than the faces being straight on and looking at me. Maybe I can put them in different shapes or things like that. And I also do have another piece where it references Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and just other sports, times in sports history, specifically basketball history. And I just wanted to find a way that I can kind of merge those two, my two favorite aspects of, you know, my life, my artwork and sports and basketball and competitiveness. I wanted to put those together. So I was just looking up reference images on Pinterest, just scrolling through, found a basketball hoop. And I was like, I think these would look really dope as the net of a basketball hoop. So I just put them together. I actually drew it out on my iPad first because I was too afraid to go to a canvas, just, you know, out of fear of messing it up. It probably took me like 2-3 months to actually end up putting it on a canvas. So the digital came first. And, you know, after that, I was trying to come up with names. Anytime I come up with names, hardly they have meaning behind them. Normally, I always do the painting first. And then, like, I just sit there and brainstorm. And the first thing that comes to my mind that I think is dope, I'm like, let's just go with it. So, you know, I don't even remember the other names I tried to choose for it. But Draymond was like, I think that's just, I don't know, I just thought it was dope. I thought that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I was like, let's just go for it. So, that's how that ended up coming to be. That's one of my favorite pieces. I recently just sold it to a really good friend of mine.
Wow.
And he got it hanging. He had a perfect spot in his wall for it. I was like, I need you to have that. So, that was a blessing as well, too. But, yeah, that's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, dude. When I was on, like, your, like, website, like, looking at all, like, your paintings and stuff, that was one that, like, stuck out to me because that was awesome.
That's my...
Like, it was awesome. Like, even all, like, the faces, like, the detail, everything, bro.
I appreciate that. That was my baby. I did not want to get rid of that. Like I said, it's in a good home, and it was with some good people. So, I was like, I got to let you have that.
Wow, dude. I mean, listen, I'm sure, like, your friend is honored to have that,
too. For sure,
too.
Man. For sure. It was cool because he was, like, he came through the first time. And the second time I had seen him, he was like, dude, I need that piece real bad. Like, how much you want for that piece? And I told him a price. And he was like, I don't know. I might need a print or something like that instead. And then I ended up going over his crib. And I saw the spot that he wanted it in. I was like, dude, how much you want for it? Because I'd negotiate. Like, we'd do it right away. Because he needs, especially too, just the type of dude he is, he hoop as well.
Yeah.
So I already know, me and him, same thing. We have basketball discourse all the time. We'll talk about random players like like Kirk Heinrich, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, random stuff. Players.
So like I already knew that's what he was on. So I was like, yeah, I need you to have that. I need you to have that for sure.
Man, Kirk Heinrich, I did not think I'd be thinking about him today, bro. Oh my gosh, dude! But naming players though—that's like the best.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you've been seeing those TikToks with like common ball knowledge, dropping players or stuff like that. But man, I've been doing my research and just thinking about players, especially growing up playing 2K was huge for me.
Yes, dude.
Only 2Ks from like 2K11 up until now. Man, that was like the soundtrack, the music I listened to. I still do all of that. That's still a part of my artwork. So like, it's crazy. So yeah, well, as soon as me and him connected on that end, I was like, bro, I need you to have this like right away,
bro. So, dude, 2K17 is still like the greatest game of all time.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. 2K17, that was the best 2K. I think I had like a playmaker, like 6'4" playmaker back then, Max Wingspan. I still remember all of that vividly because that was like my first 2K where my dad got it for me. But I was playing online. I was playing with friends.
Yeah.
2K16, I was a little bit too young to really know what was going on. So, and all of that. But yeah, that's like when it really locked in, kicked in for me. I'm like, all right, there's levels to this. Like, I'm really trying to be online. So yeah, that was fun. That used to be a lot of fun,
dude. Even like the bottom meter, the bottom
the
shot
meter, bro. Meter is still crisp. Like, I still think about that to this day. Meter on that's the best meter by far. 2K17. After that, I won't say it went downhill because it was a couple 2Ks I was in and out. I didn't like 18, 25. I actually don't dislike this.
Really,
year. I like the pro play. I like how a lot of it looks more realistic. The shooting is much more realistic too because you can hit more contested jumpers and stuff like that.
Okay.
I think that's nice. It is certain parts of the game where you've got to buy VC, you've got to do things like that. It's almost like pay to win. Sometimes yeah, it feels like.
2K has always been like that.
Yeah,
bro.
It always has. I won't lie. It's become more expensive, but you know, for sure, especially too, though, when you got friends and things like that that you can hop on with, it's always going to be a good moment. So to me, I always see that as an investment. You know, I might make one or two bills throughout the year. That's all they're going to get out of me.
But
at least those one or two bills, I'm going to make sure they stretch the whole year. So,
dude, for real. And one player that I always think of, Jonathan Simmons. I think his rookie year, like, he was a beast on, like, the Spurs. And then I think he got traded to the Magic.
Yeah, he went to the Magic. I remember him vividly because he was nice. I thought he was going to be, like, one of their next up-and-coming players. For real. Him and Kawhi together.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be nice. Yeah, that's a good one. What's it called? Mine used to be Jeremy Lamb back in,
like, bro, Jeremy Lamb was a beast.
On 2K13, you couldn't do nothing with him. Like, Jeremy Lamb was probably my go-to. Gerald Green is always, like, a legend that a lot of people go to.
Yeah.
You got some of those players that,
Courtney Lee.
Woodrow, he played, what, New York? He played for Memphis. He was a journeyman for real. He played for New York, Memphis. It's funny because I've been watching, like, the podcast, like, Jeff Teague's and stuff like that.
Dude, Jeff Teague's podcast is awesome.
His videos, all of that is hilarious. Dude, I've been on YouTube Reels just, like, scrolling through watching his stuff because, yeah, he funny. Some of his stories is hilarious on there.
Dude, beautiful. For sure. That is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So now in Act 3, you mentioned needing to slow down and how being a perfectionist can weigh on you.
Yeah.
Especially in a world that moves so fast, like with social media and the constant pressure to perform. How do you make time to talk to yourself deeply and stay connected to who you really are beneath all the noise?
Yeah. Definitely not rushing myself. I think that my journey is mine, and I think that it's going to take time, at least for me to build where I see myself being. So I think that definitely not rushing myself, because it's easy to get caught up in social media, right? When you see people who are my age, where they got certain cars that you want, they got their own houses, they got things like that, and you don't see the grind that comes behind it, right? I don't know what they went through in their years of life to get themselves to that point. They might be 22, same age as me, but they might have went through something else that got them to where they at, right? Or sometimes too, some of it might be a front as well, some of it might be fake, you know, and a lot of that happens in social media just to keep up an image. So I think it's really important to know that I'm the only person that has lived my journey, and that my journey is meant for me. If that means that I blow up and when I'm 25 years old, that's perfect, you know, I'll let that happen. Or if that means it's gonna take some time till I'm 40, till I'm 50, till I'm established, that's cool. I'm still gonna make sure that I'm doing what I love to do, and that it still at least feels fulfilling enough for me, and as long as I continue to do that, I know I'll be fine. So it's definitely easy to get into those modes where I'm scrolling through, or even to just the artists that are local and close by me, and I'm comparing myself to their career or what they got going on. But you know, I think that my time is mine. I think my opportunities are going to be mine when it is time for them, and it's just, I just got to sit back and accept them when it's time to go. As long as I'm doing what I'm doing, it's going to find me. So yeah.
I mean, like, kind of how, like, you mentioned, like, I feel like in today's society, like on Instagram, on social media, you see people, like, you know, having a great time, having these nice homes, cars. I'm like, dang, you're like 19,
it's funny, not for real.
Like, living like A-list celebrity.
Yeah. For real.
And
thousands of followers in the verification check. Like, man, I'll be beating myself up sometimes. But
yeah, and
it's
like,
easy to.
Yeah, and like, it's crazy because, you know, you really don't see all the hard work that goes behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they really take time to go out of their day and, you know, do these TikToks and do these, like routines. Like, obviously, like, we saw over, like, the COVID era, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
For sure.
But you saw people, like, blowing up just by doing dances.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, now that that's getting popular, you're like, well, so if I just start doing dances, can I get famous
can
too?
Can I also do it? Yeah.
And, like, you know, I feel like with today's society, like, we're so used to just comparing ourselves to each other. Like, oh, like, they're living their best life. Like, I'm over here doing this.
Yeah.
But each path, each journey is just meant for us. We're supposed to be different than these other people. We're supposed to have different paths. But, you know, eventually we're all going to find our way.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to make it through.
For real.
So, and just, you know, it's just so fast, like, with social media and everything. Like, I mean, the way we're moving, swiping on our phones, the way we're doing this technology,
it moved quick. Dude, I just bought a microphone off of TikTok Shop. Like, and it's crazy. It just blows my mind that things like that are so accessible. Or, like, even lately, like, as I've been talking about trying to start a YouTube or trying to start making content and things like that on my For You page, now that's all the only kind of videos that I see.
Yeah.
Right. So I think too, it's easy to have whatever you believe in or things like that pushed to you. You know, just it's algorithms, right? So I think it's easy to stay in that loop. It's easy to stay in that loop as well too, where you are beating yourself up or comparing yourself often. It's really easy to get sucked into that. So. It definitely does. And there's no really strategies or things like that I use to kind of take myself out of that every once in a while. It's just reminding myself that I know I'm the only person who has lived my life and that I know my story. So no matter what, I always have a niche. I always have content to push out. I always have artwork to create. I always have something to make because I'm the only person living this. Yeah. Right. So it's hard for that to be replicated. It can never be replicated. So yeah, just got to remind myself every once in a while. Just a little mental check.
Thing that I've been doing for a long time is meditating.
Yeah.
Which like it's crazy because my former trainer Dan, shout out Dan,
for sure.
Like he taught me about it. Like whereas you know you throw on this like meditation stuff, this like Wim Hof breathing.
Yep.
And like basically like if you're overwhelmed, you're going through a lot of stuff, and it just like separates you know you from like that social media from like the rest of the world, and you're just in your own head, you're just breathing, just getting like your body right.
Right.
And you know it's an incredible feeling because you just sit there and you just think about all these thoughts, you know,
yeah.
you know how your day was right. or what you could do to get better, and like you know, like it is like a weird feeling at first because you're like, dang, like I'm just thinking about all these thoughts
right,
and everything,
but
no, it's definitely a great feeling, and that's definitely something that like I use all the time, like whenever like you know, I really need to like lock in and just like think about what I need to do next and how to advance in my career and all of that.
Yeah, I always try meditating. I'm still in that process of where I'll try it out. I'll be hot on it right for like a week, right, and then after that it just fall off, right. And in that time, that pocket of time where I am meditating or things like that, I really do find myself feeling a lot more calm, just level minded. I can approach situations, whether it's a bad situation or a good one, and just have a clear mind toward what I want to do next. But I don't know. I think I'm still in that phase where it's like, okay, I'm sitting here thinking while I'm, you know, like I'm quiet. I'm thinking to myself. I'm thinking about my day. I'm thinking about all of these things, and it's easy to get caught up, feel like you're not doing it right, right, and then you stop for a certain amount of time. So I definitely am trying to get there as well too. I commend you for doing that because that's dope. I definitely want to get into that realm of trying that out and meditating every day. That'd be cool.
Yeah, bro. So yeah, you definitely gotta update me on your journey, bro.
I got you. I definitely do.
So what moment made you realize art was more than just a passion?
Yeah.
And what pushed you to create a new identity through the name Eve Santana?
For sure. It's crazy enough, when me and my mom was in the midst of what we was going through, this was my junior year. I think I was going into, I was in my senior year already. It was probably about a couple months in. And I was telling my mom that I didn't know if I wanted to play basketball anymore. And, you know, I had played all through before third grade. But really, I started to play travel basketball, stuff like that around that age up until my junior year in high school. And by the time my senior year came around, I'm already going through a lot, right? And I also, too, part of it is because I figured that it would be a lot for my mom to kind of maintain. Again, she's working a couple jobs at the same time, as well as her having to show up for my games or dropping me off and picking me up at practice. And I kind of felt like it would have been a lot for her. So can't lie, that was part of my influence. But also, too, it was my decision to stop playing basketball. And I decided to take my artwork serious. I remember telling my coach, because, you know, we by then, I think we had tryouts had finished, and I had made my varsity team.
Okay.
So by the time varsity team was already selected, I was all good. And the first day of practice, I went up to my coach, pulled him to the side. My coach is actually my cousin. He was my older cousin.
What?
Yep, which is crazy. Shout out to him, Derek. He was my older cousin. He never picked favorites or nothing like that. He really made all of us work for it. And, you know, I definitely felt that going into my senior year. But it got to a point where I was like, I don't know how much I'm willing to put in work to get better, you know. And I also kind of looked at other parts of my life where, I am loving painting more often. I had just picked up a paintbrush probably like maybe 2-3 months before I actually started to get into my artwork and had this conversation with him.
Yeah.
Painting was new to me. I was only used to like drawing with pen and paper and stuff like that. So I really started to take that serious. By the time my senior year rolled around, I'm pretty sure most of them remember it, but I was wearing like different colored bandanas every day. I was making my own clothing. I was painting on stuff, and like I really started to take it serious and found out that I had a future going into that. So I took all my AP art classes I could that senior year. I was encouraged to make as much as I could by my teachers. I had a second mom pretty much at my school because she was my art teacher and just let me stay around and create as much as I could. So by that point, I was like, yeah, this is really what I want to do. So I pivoted from what I was used to and tried something new. So I'm glad I did ever since. My mom was such a big vouch for that too, because she, for a long time, I felt like I was expected to do that. I was expected to play basketball.
And, yeah.
That's what kind of came along with it. So when she told me, she was like, well, it's up to you. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play? And I was like, no, I don't. She's like, then don't play. And ever since then, like, me and her always had those kind of conversations. We can be open, and I can tell her just how I'm feeling. And she asked me how I'm feeling about it, just so I don't feel like I'm in my own head or crazy about it. And she justifies that a lot. So yeah, that around that time is when I like started to slow down and move move more into my artwork and what I'm doing now.
It's so hard just like choosing like what you want to do, especially you know, being that young, like in high school, because you're still like making all these like decisions. And at the time, you know, you're deciding if you want to go to college or not.
Right.
You're deciding what career path you want to go down.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you got all like all of this stuff going on in your life, even at home, like even just outside of like sports.
Yep.
So it's even in school too. You know, school, like people say, hey, high school, you know, was this and that, but hey, high school still took up time. You still had to get good grades.
I'm saying high school was a struggle, man. High school was a struggle for everybody. It was
I
agree.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, making like those choices, and especially like, you know, you, I mean, you've loved the game of basketball for years, like even since you were little. So it's like, you know, like the fact that, you know, you're deciding on quitting or not, like I'm sure that was tough.
Yeah, that was, man. That was like you don't know what to do with yourself, right? Because for so many years, that's what you used to getting ready for the season. You used to conditioning, you used to putting, you know what I'm saying, going shopping for your shoes. You're used to all of that. So like, that was like my first year where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to practice after. It's like, what do I do with myself? So that whole, I've never had a fall going into spring season, like where I was going home after school. I have not had that since like, you know, third grade when I was starting travel. So that was like 8 years of my life where I'm used to that. I'm in a routine. We going to Spire. We going to, you know, different schools and stuff like that. So yeah, that was new for me. And, you know, like I said, it meant a lot knowing that I had the support to make that decision. And also her letting me know that it is my own conscious decision to make. So after that, like I said, I really started to lock into my artwork, especially too. I had a lot of good friends around me in high school who were also artists. So, you know, they pushed me just as far as my coach would push me, right? And same thing with my teachers, finding other mentors and things like that to go to, especially now being out of that scene and out of playing basketball. Like, I definitely had to find new mentors, and still too, I maintain that competitive spirit that never went anywhere. So, you know, just finding different ways to transmute that into my artwork. It's still the same thing to me. I still feel charged up. Like, I still feel charged up whenever I'm making my artwork. It'd be days where like I'm doing push-ups because I'm just feeling, you know, I'm feeling really good about what I got going on. So that competitive nature is still there, even with my art. So I just learned how to merge the two a little bit.
Dude, that's a blessing, bro. Sure, awesome. Now, how'd you come up with the name Eve Santana?
Man, when I was in high school, my senior year, I had wanted a stage name real bad. It was crazy because most music artists like choose a stage name or things like that. But not a lot of visual artists do that. And I had decided, I was choosing a couple different names, and I had decided on the name Easy at first, which is short for Ezekiel.
Yeah.
The reason why I chose that because my mom wanted to name Ezekiel when she first had me. And I thought that was a really dope name.
My brother's name. That's a great name.
Yeah, bro. I thought that was cool, right? So my brothers, both of their names starts with E. We all would have been E or Easy or something like that.
Yeah.
So I thought that would have been cool. And I ended up going with that name actually probably until the following summer when I had, I believe I was going into my senior year that following summer is when I switched up that name from Easy and I chose Santana.
Yeah.
I ended up choosing Santana, same thing. Like the same way I choose my names for my paintings, like it's just off the top of the dome, whatever I kind of come up with. And I wanted something with some dope cadence to it, and Santana was what I ended up choosing. Now, at the time, it didn't really have much significance to me. I just really wanted a stage name. But as I started to evolve and you know, grow and just turn into the person that I am today, I ended up finding a lot more meaning in what Santana meant to me. Because, you know, my real name is Malcolm, right? That's what a lot of people recognize me at. And that's what I'm still recognized by. But when I ended up seeing Santana as a person who I wanted to become, that I never would, you know, that I never would become, but just somebody to look up to, right? And, and I see this as some people can, you can describe this as a higher self or however you would like to, but I just saw that as, okay, I need to show up as this person every day, right? Especially for my mom and what she's going on. You know, I gotta be the man in the house essentially, or even in times where I felt like I was afraid to go up and talk to somebody or introduce myself or talk about my artwork, I'd be like, all right, well, if I'm afraid to go up there, let Santana go up there, right? And that's what it turned into. That's what it still is today. And Eve came along probably around 2 years later. I was really in the midst of my depression. And, you know, by this point, Santana is actually what I'm identifying as. A lot of people are calling me Santana. That's just what I go by with my artwork, and it just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So I ended up adding Eve to the beginning of it in reference specifically to Adam and Eve out of the Bible, first story out of the Bible. And I wanted that idea of just as much as I have a person I'm chasing every day, right, that I'm trying to become this beautiful person. I'm trying to become and explain my story and stuff like that, express myself to people. Eve is also something that follows behind me, which is my depression, or is my capability of hurting other people, or it keeps me human, you know what I'm saying? It keeps me balanced. So on one, it's like an angel and the devil on your shoulder, essentially. So, you know, I feel like those two things are really important. They create balance in my life, especially, too, when I talk about my artwork now and what it means to me. A lot of my artwork revolves around cycles and stopping cycles and having the choice of you can continue hope, you can continue love, but you're also just as capable because you are human of committing harm and, you know, and doing terrible things to people, truthfully. So, you know, it creates that balance for me. So it came, those kind of came over the years. Like it was like 2 years of span where I developed that name and that's what it turned into.
Wow, dude. I mean, like, you know, you kind of mentioned like how you almost like look up to Santana or like want to be Santana with my life and every day. I feel like, you know, I always want to do stuff for like my like younger self. How would like little Cello like, you know, how would little Cello like want you to be? So it's like, man, like deep down, like I'm like, okay, like if I have to grow this or expand this, like what would like little Cello think? Like, what do you think? This is cool. Like, you know, would he be proud of you if you're doing this? So like my podcast and everything, like, you know, me and you kind of talked about it off camera, but like I used to love to draw. Used to do all that stuff. I was so creative. I filmed little like Lego videos and stuff when I was little.
That was dope, man.
So it's like this podcast was something that always had value to you know, little Cello, because, you know, he loved doing stuff that was creative, loved doing stuff that was fun. This podcast kind of brought that back to life.
You got to validate that for, you know, for the sake of little Cello. You got to validate those things. I'm sure, like, even just looking at myself from me being a younger self, who I am today, I would love who I am today. Like, I would be such an idol to myself as a kid because I'm pursuing everything that I really wanted to do. All of those things that I felt shameful as when I was a child, I validate those things now. And I think that would be amazing for, if even just thinking, you know, if I could sit next to my younger self, you know, or just give my younger self advice. And two, like, I am a current younger self, right? There's going to be a future Santana that's going to be way more evolved or, you know, way more forward thinking. So I'm always trying to do that for myself. That's a great way to bring it up too. Just a younger self that you always kind of got to validate and got to make sure that you're doing right by him for real.
Yeah, dude, have to. Keep on, you know, keep on living out that childhood dream, you know?
For real.
So going into your senior year, COVID changed everything for us. I mean, it was crazy.
That was ridiculous.
So how did that time affect you and what did you learn about yourself during that time?
Yeah, I think that probably something I've never actually harped on just until now is by that point. So me and my mom, my entire senior year, we ended up having our apartment. So I want to say through halfway of my sophomore year and then about toward the end of my junior year is when we were homeless for a little bit. And we ended up getting our apartment March 3rd. My birthday was the 10th.
Yeah.
So it was March 10th. And I want to say the pandemic hit the 13th. We ended up being out of school for X amount of time. We didn't know what was going to happen. And during that time, I think what hit really hard for me and what made my depression come was that now I was no longer in survival mode, right? During that time where me and her didn't have a place to stay, I'm not really thinking about what I got. Because to me, okay, we have to get out of this situation. So I'm not thinking about my emotions, the traumatic things I'm going through at that moment. It's just like, okay, you got to trudge through it. Like, we have no time to sit and think and process what actually happened. So once the pandemic came around and everybody is isolating by themselves, I actually sat and was like, oh, this is what I just went through. You know, and all of that processed and caught up to me. And that's where I really started to slow down as far as just my depression and things like that. Especially going into my senior year. My senior year was really tough for me. Like, I was getting really bad grades. And my mom was just kind of on me. She's like, that's all I require from you, right? I need you to kind of get it together. I know it's hard for you. I know it was really hard for us in the last year. But I need you to just kick it out for the last. This is your last year. That's all you got to do, right? And I think that was really hard to go through. You know, I never experienced nothing like that. And it's to a point now where I feel so freely talking about it because I went through those moments and I can now acknowledge I've processed it by now, right? And to me talking about traumatic situations aren't as bad because I have some understanding of what I went through. So, but at that moment where you just moving at a million miles a minute just to get through your situation and then you just stop out of nowhere, like, that was a lot to process. And me and her both went through the same thing. It's always been nice having that parent there where she learns from me just as much as I learned from her. And, you know, we both sat and went through the same thing. She went through the same depression as I did and we got each other through it. So yeah, that pandemic was a tough one for me for sure. But like I said, it really did build up who I was because it did give me the opportunity to sit with what I went through. And when you sit down and you acknowledge what you're going through, I think that helped me just become a better person because now I'm no longer taking those traumatic experiences into my other relationships. Now I'm no longer bringing up what I went through in my friendships or whoever else I'm dealing with at the time. You know, I'm actually able to sit with myself and get through it. So, you know, during the time it was hard, but, you know, now it feels a lot, you know, I feel very validated that I went through all of that and I'm able to talk about it.
Yeah, dude, I mean, like, that's awesome that you could talk about it because I'm sure there's so many other people that are out there going through like a similar thing. So the fact that you know, you could talk about it, you can express your feelings, like I'm sure, bro, like that's gonna help tons of people out there that are going through the same thing. And you know, now that like you have that experience, you know what you've gone through, like, you know, you're just gonna keep on trying to get better. And also too, you're gonna be more aware of things that go on in your life. Like I feel like as we get older, you know, we become more aware of the stuff that goes on. And you know, we really like are like, wow, like that really happened like when I was little, or
for real,
man, like that really happened like in high school, like, you know, where we couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't see any of our friends.
Man, you keep, and too, like I learned, especially this year, like you keep going through the same cycles over and over and over again until you learn your lesson, right? And it, sometimes it might take people years to get through that. Luckily, like I said, I had a great support system around me, who my mom, she grabbed my hand and was explaining what I was going on, you know, or what I had going on, or, you know, especially the lessons that I was learning at that time. She would really validate me and tell me like, hey, I'm proud of you for even getting up and talking about your story. I'm proud of you for even, and not a lot of people have that. So like I said, I always want to make sure that, you know, I know that I'm not the only person that goes through this. I'm not, by far. And it's a lot of people who've gone through far worse than I have, right? And again, it just allows me to continue to be grateful for what I do have, right? But also still allow myself to be that voice for people who, again, don't have what I do. So it taught me a lot of lessons that time, and it was necessary. It definitely was.
Yeah, like even in COVID too, like, you know, I've always like been around people like my whole life. I love being around people.
Right.
Like, you know, I love talking to people. I love just getting to know their story, getting to know their background, like just make people's day better. And over COVID, like, I just remember just going through a hard time with that, because you go from seeing your best friends every day, being in class, being with professors, being with teachers, and all of a sudden, just boom, it's gone. Then you're just, you know, by yourself with your family. And, like, listen, I love my family, but, you know, when you're stuck inside the house,
man,
and you really can't do a whole lot.
Man, my mom was getting on my nerves. I was getting on her nerves. I know I was. We had just got our dog in between that time too, so luckily she kind of gave us some good, like, you know, whenever we was going through it, I'd go in my room, the dog can come in there with me, or my mom done made me mad, or I done made her mad, dog go in there with her. But it was funny because we was like roommates during that time, but you know, again, we really figured it out. But that was true, man. Being with your family, being that close knit, it allowed you to appreciate them a lot more.
It did,
of course,
for sure.
It definitely did, because now I won't say like it's not like everybody didn't have their own life separate, but again, y'all all under one roof again, so like you can't really go out too often, or if y'all do go out in groups, you got to be super close together. So it definitely did change up a lot of dynamics like that, and it made me much more appreciative. I was already appreciative of her, but even those moments where we got on each other's nerves, the moment that my mom got on my nerves, I go back in the living room 2 hours later, be like, all right, what you cooking tonight, you know, we'll be right back at it, you know. That's my best friend. So and I'm sure it was a lot of relationships like that grew, especially with brothers and sisters and stuff like that. People having that under our household, I'm sure it was amazing.
Oh, but yeah. I mean,
some silver lining to it.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, I remember just sitting in, like, my kitchen. This was, I think, in February, like, before COVID was going to hit. And, like, my parents sat me down. They're like, listen, like, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, we don't know if, you know, we're all going to die. We don't know if we're all going to, you know, just be in these homes forever.
Right.
And, like, and being a kid in high school, you're sitting there, you're just like,
I don't know what to do.
Real.
That's crazy, too, because it was that dynamic as well. We didn't know how bad it was going to get. We didn't know what it was going to look like. And we was all going to be in hazmat suits or worse. You know what I'm saying? So that's something else. I didn't even think about that aspect for real.
Yeah, just like sitting there with like my parents, I'm like, oh, this could be like the last time.
This is sick.
This could be like the last time like we're all together.
For
like
real.
And, you know, we didn't know the extent of how, you know, bad it was going to be. We didn't know like what was really going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, we all made it okay. I mean, obviously, there was a ton of people that, you know, passed away from it, which is crazy. But, you know, just going through that time, like, we're going to look back and our kids are going to, you know, learn about this in the history
books. Part of history, like, that's crazy. I can't wait to lie to my kids about what happened. I'm going to exaggerate it so much, man. You had to walk to school and it was that. I can't wait.
Wow. So me and you met through the game of basketball.
Yeah.
So overall, what does the game mean to you? And how did you first get into playing?
Man, I think the first time me and you was talking about it off, you know, outside of the podcast, where I moved to Cleveland when I was in, I was 3 years old, 3-4 years old when we moved to Cleveland. We had moved from Oakland, California. And basketball was introduced to me at that very moment because my parents just wanted me to have something to do, especially with was meeting other kids. I'm going to Head Start, which is a little preschool and stuff like that. So they wanted me to get out, and there was like at my brother, he had went to Warrensville Heights High School, and they had like a little rec center and stuff like that. So they used to bring all the kids along, and at that point, like there's a picture of me somewhere where I'm holding up a trophy next to a bunch of other kids, all of us holding our trophies up in the air.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I really fell in love with the game. My mom is naturally competitive. She grew up playing sports. My dad grew up playing sports. Both my brothers play basketball and football as well. So same thing too. When we get to, even if it's a Monopoly game, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we're competitive. We're going to go back and forth. We don't take our losses easy. So growing up, I always kind of had that family dynamic where naturally we was going to be competitive. It just so happened that basketball was what selected me. And just growing up, the game gave so much to me. You know what I'm saying? Even just being like, I never went, you know, anything further than junior year in basketball. But at the same time, like it taught me a lot just about even just teamwork, not even necessarily on a court or with the status of you passing the ball to each other, but even just outside of, you know, competitive sports, right? It's just me and my mom working together. Or even to like, shout out to my basketball team, definitely my junior year, because I actually had expressed to them everything that I was going on at home.
Really?
Yeah, I did. And that was one of the most tear-jerking, hardest moments I had ever been through, ever in my life. And when I tell you, every single one of them, they all sat with me. They all dapped me up. They all came, hugged me, made sure I was cool. They went home and told their parents, and their parents brought us back gift cards. They brought us back resources, people to call, like all of that. And it that moment right there meant so much to me. That's what my team, like when I think of just high school, was such a really great experience for me because I had so many people who had my back. Not even just outside the basketball team, but teachers, even other students that I still converse with every once in a while that I can, right? Like that meant a lot to me. So to me, that was something that can't be taken away. And the game of basketball meant a lot to me. I still love to play. I still go to my open gyms. I'm never playing with nobody that's D1 or nothing like that yet. But I still play with, you know, some of the old heads that's around, and they still take me in, you know what I'm saying? They still encourage me. We still have a good time. Every Thursday at 5:30 in the morning, I'm getting up and I'm hooping with these cats.
No way.
Yeah, it's such a good time, man. Like nobody arguing over fouls.
Yeah.
You know, everybody got work to get to after a while. We only play for an hour and a half. So shout out to them as well too. You know, it's always a good time. So same thing. Me and you was talking about even the idea of coaching. Like I would love the idea of not even necessarily just coaching again because I love the game of basketball, but just knowing what that community did for me, I would love to be that community and harbor that for other kids. So yeah, it means a lot to me, man. Growing up playing, especially coming back around, like even having these moments where I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah.
Like that built that those times built that moment to where we're at now, right? So
yeah,
just the connections that I established and all of that together, man. It was dope.
Dude, even just like the memories that, like, you know, you make from it, like all those kids from like the travel basketball days, like the Kenston League, and then to the middle school days, just like going on the bus, like with your team.
Bus rides used to be so much fun. the lunches they used to give beforehand. We used to get like little Subway sandwiches, all that stuff. We used to trade the bag, all of that stuff. Piss off our coach, make him mad. We run to suicides because one of us over there laughing because something had happened. Like, man, those moments like was so much. I still laugh thinking about them, right? They such a good time. So,
dude, even getting like McDonald's after the game with like your team.
I'm saying, especially too during travel basketball when you had to play, you was in a tournament, and like going and grabbing something to eat, or all of the parents coming together, grabbing everybody Gatorade.
Yeah.
We're going to be there all day. Like, all of that, man, that used to be so much fun, dude.
Yeah,
definitely was.
Man, like me and my dad, like we always talk about like the travel basketball days.
Yeah.
Just like how fun they were.
And
just like how, like, you know, like, we were so little, but like, you know, the kids in our grade were good. Like,
yes.
Like we were all good.
Man, it was, dude, I think it was Mayfield. I don't know if it was, I think it was Aurora.
Okay.
And we used to play Cheyenne Sellers.
She
in Maryland right now, just, you know what I'm saying, doing her thing in Maryland. And she used to dog us. Like, she used to, and we used to be young. You know, we didn't know what was going on. So we young. We like, it's a girl that's playing. Like, she can't. No, she was dogging and giving us 30. And we in fifth grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, fifth, sixth grade, she giving us 30, 25 points, 40 points, whenever she wants to. Like, it was crazy. So, yeah, man, all of those moments was really fun, especially to us. As we got older, we started going to conferences. Like, we was playing Brush. And, you know, the competitive nature got way bigger, especially as they started to become a better team.
Yeah.
LaMelo coming to Spire was huge.
Yep.
All of these players that was coming along. So it really really felt like the world was huge when I was young, you know, at least in the world of basketball, you know what I'm saying? It was dope.
Yeah, dude, because there was so much talent. And then also, too, like, the fact that we played since we were kids, like, yeah. Until high school, like, we, like, got to know each other. We were like, oh, yeah, we know that guy. He's a righty. He likes to shoot threes. For real. He's a lefty. He does a little fadeaway. Yep. So, like, you know, you kind of got to build, like, relationships, like, with these players. Yeah. Like, even though you didn't, like, you know, talk to them on a daily basis, yep. but you knew them, like, after the game. You would ask how, like, they were doing and stuff. Yeah. So.
That's true. That's how it was with me and you. Yeah. That's how it was with me and you. Especially, like, just, again, a couple players from Mayfield that, you know what I'm saying, I used to run into or talk to after the game. Normally, most of them was probably people that you was friends with anyway, right? So,
yeah.
I just think that was dope, like, knowing people through association or, you know, through the game of basketball. I think that was cool. From way across the side of side of town. Like, yeah, that was dope, man.
So from travel ball to high school, me and you watch each other grow as both players and as people. Yeah. So looking back, what's one lesson you learned along the way that you carry with you, not just in basketball, but also in life?
Yeah. I think going back to, like, before, I just think the idea of not even necessarily just teamwork per se, but just leaning on your peers. And just, you know, like, even lately, like, I've just been going through a hard time, and just being able to keep my heart open, right, and tell my friends, like, yo, I'm actually going through it right now, and I really do need you here, right? Or them going out their way to text me or call me, or me making sure that, you know, because I have had the habit of isolating, right, and falling into that depression again, and a lot of them know that, and I also know that, right? So definitely going out my way, that way I don't continue that same cycle. Let me just call up my friend real quick because I'm in his area and go grab something to eat, right? Just because I know that's going to make me feel better. Things like that I took with out of the game of basketball. And again, shout out to my team. Like, that, I never have ever actually talked about it out loud and just how much they were there for me. Like, I think about that all the time. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Like, I needed that at that moment. And I felt so small and I was so little. You know what I'm saying? And just the fact that they did that for me meant so much to me. So just knowing that I can lean on people. I always have also, too, had a bad time with asking people for help.
Yeah.
And again, just being cool, reaching out now. So a lot of those things I got to carry with me every day. It's just a part of me now.
Wow, that is awesome, brother.
I appreciate that.
So about a year ago, you were featured in the Chagrin Valley Today for your involvement in the Emerging Young Artist Exhibition. How did it feel to be recognized in that way? And what did that moment mean to you as an artist? Because, dude, you were like the front page. Yeah, you know?
I didn't even do when that article came through. Did not expect that at all, because when they, you know, they had emailed me, were emailing back and forth, and they said, hey, we wanted to get you and a couple other artists, just as a, you know, as a small little blurb on the Chagrin Valley Times page. And she asked me a list of questions. I answered it for her. And when I went, I actually, too, when they released the when they released the newspaper, I didn't even get a chance to get a copy of it. A lot of my, like, my mentors and stuff like that who lived in the Chagrin area ended up getting a copy way before I did. And then, too, I ended up finding out about it, like, because it had been, like, 2 weeks that went by. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like, I'll probably be up there by now. So I go on their website. And when I saw my photo and I saw all of that text around it, I was like, there is no, because I thought it was just going to be a small little paragraph, me and two other artists, you know, that was also a part of the show. And when I saw that, like, that meant a lot to me. Like, that was huge. And not only that, too, that was probably one of my strongest pieces I had ever produced. I still consider it my magnum opus. Like, it was, it's Archangel is the name of it.
Yeah.
And it's got 200 and I think it's 262 faces or 61 faces I had did. And they're all connected with one line. And again, that's really where I started to step into my style and that idea of duality and that balance I was talking about with my name. And, you know, that moment meant a lot. So when I saw that page, especially too, the night was a really good night. We had the open ceremony that we went to. And, you know, it was a lot of talented artists in there. And same thing to my art mentor that I grew up with came and supported me as well. So it was a beautiful time, man. It was dope. So just to see that, like, that felt so validating after the fact. That was dope.
Yeah, dude. And too, I mean, you know, that's like near like your hometown.
Yeah.
Like everything. So like just like seeing like, you know, your picture and your painting on the newspaper, dude, that's a great feeling.
That was full circle, man. That was full circle, because it really did take a village to, you know, help me become who I did. So it kind of felt like, in a way, when I saw that front page, it was like, wow, like I'm finally, I want to make sure that everybody felt like it was worth it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was worth investing into this kid that they did not have to at all. You know what I'm saying? They let this kid stay in his home for months at a time. They did not have to do that. And I wanted to make sure that it was, they felt, and even in too, all of those people who helped me out, they didn't even require, same thing as my mom didn't require much from me, but my just good grades. They didn't require much for me just to pass and make sure that I did everything that I wanted to do the righteous way. And to be able to come back full circle and have that published, and it felt like I'm gonna make sure that I y'all know that this was worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was worth helping this random kid out that you didn't have to help. So that meant a lot for me, man. It did.
Wow. Blessing, brother.
Appreciate it.
So you've accomplished so much in your artistic journey, but I know you've got a lot of passion for things outside of your work as well.
Yeah.
So what's something you're really excited about right now, whether it's a new project, something you're exploring, or just a personal passion?
Lately, this is my first semester actually going to school. And it's been, I had always wanted to wait. I waited for a while and before I decided to go. And just really diving into my artwork again. I've been learning the basics of everything again, so I'm working with charcoal, I'm working with pencil and paper again, and it's been really, in a way, humbling almost, just to go back to the basics of everything, because learning, I think it's really important to learn those rules, that way you can bend them and, you know, start to really create more expressionistic work that I try to do.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's not necessarily a hobby, but mainly just diving myself back into school, and even the idea of struggling with homework again, having deadlines again, you know, I didn't have that for 3-4 years. You know, I graduated in 2021, so
yeah.
You know, it's been really nice just to get back into that mode again, conversing with my classmates, and meeting new people, talking to my professors, staying with them after class ended just so I can figure something. I don't know what I'm doing in my algebra class right now. You know what I'm saying? It's been 4 years. So, you know, but that was really what I wanted. I wanted to do that again. And, you know, it's been really nice to network that way. There's also a basketball court that's on campus as well.
Yeah.
I'll go there, and I'd have met a couple of people. Now they pick me up as soon as they see me on the court, or going to the food court with them after that. Like, it's just been nice to kind of get back into that mode again, and I'm feeling independent again, really. Like, I love doing that. So going to the gym, it's the same thing. It's a gym on campus. We'll all go together, you know what I'm saying, text each other.
Yeah.
Now at this point, we're playing 2K together, Call of Duty together, all of that stuff. So you know, all of that has been a lot of fun. Same thing too, I guess, going into some other things, like playing the game. I'm still on the Xbox all the time. I'm playing Call of Duty, I'm playing 2K all the time, Fortnite, all of that is still fun. So whenever I get the chance, just to, at least away from my artwork, away from school or from my job, and I kind of got that little bit of downtime, like, I might buy some VC and just make another player, and let's get playing. So that's also fun as well too. So yeah, just a couple things, but really diving back into school has been a lot of fun for me lately.
Yeah, dude. And like, you know, I feel like it's hard when you're out of school, you're like, man, like, I don't want to go back, like, especially, you know, being 3-4 years out of school.
Right.
You know, big props to you for, you know, wanting to go back and wanting to be on that, like, strict, like, you know, schedule with deadlines and homework and stuff.
I was excited. I'm still excited for that. It's still, you know, it get on my nerves now. Yeah. I got a project due next Tuesday. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. I don't know if I'm going to get it done, right? But still, same thing. It's just been, it's been a blessing to be able to achieve higher education or be in an area where I am able to do that. So I'm really grateful for it. It's been a really good time.
Wow. So now we go to our final part quote of the episode. I didn't send this to you.
Oh, all
so
right. All right.
I do this to all of my guests on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I'll send you all of the questions for sure.
Sure.
But listen, this is always like spot on, just come off like the top of the head.
Yeah.
So this is the quote of the episode. So I'll say a quote from a famous person, famous artist, and you'll just talk about what the quote means to you.
Yeah.
And then you'll leave us with a quote that you live by every day.
That's dope.
If you can think of one.
I got you.
Bet. Perfect. So this quote is, "The artist is not a special kind of person. Rather, each person is a special kind of artist."
Yeah. That's, I think, first thing that came to my mind. I think going back to, we discussed it a couple times, and I think the idea of everybody has their own life that they live, right? It's, everybody has their own niche, no matter what. There's nobody that can replicate what you do, Cello, like, at all. There's nobody that can ever do that, because you've been the only person that lived that. You can have a twin in the household, and y'all have two separate different lives, right? And I think sometimes too, the idea of artistry, I think people may only identify it as somebody painting or drawing or music or things like that, but I think that artistry is in everyday things that we do, you know what I'm saying? I think that a teacher deciding to get up and want to teach because they want to be a, you know, like, at least influence kids or influence that next generation of children. Yeah. I think that's artistry. You know what I'm saying? I think that's them pouring everything that they believe in and everything that they love and they care about out of their soul into something that is bigger than them. You know what I'm saying? I think all of that is artistry. I think that people who volunteer, I think that people who are firefighters and put their lives on, I think all of that is artistry. It's hard not for me to vision it that way. Just because that's something that you and your soul, you had no reason of, something I think about all the time. Like my favorite color is green. I did not choose the color green to be my favorite color. You know what I'm saying? Like it just, that's just what I attracted myself to. And I think, same thing relating that to what people decide to do on an everyday basis, whether it is a police officer or things like that. Like they had some choice to do it, but ultimately them, their soul and what they believed in brought them to that point to where they at. And I think that people just doing something bigger than themselves is I will always commend, whether that is painting or whether that is coaching or whatever that is, you know, I think that's artistry. What you're doing right now, you know what I'm saying? You wanting to, you know what you went through in your own story. So you want to discuss with other athletes or other people in the city about their story, right? That's artistry. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's amazing. Bro. So I think everybody is their own artist, whatever they identify that as. You don't have to be a great drawer to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? I just think that you got to show up and do what you love to do every single day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just be that to the fullest that you can be. But yeah.
Listen, bro, you hit that right on the money. That was beautiful response, bro. So now, what's one quote that you live by every day?
I think that it's so simple, but I think it's really important. It's cliche, but it's be yourself. I think that has been, that's where I found the most fruitful, that I found so many lessons just through doing that, right? I guess it's really important with me being an artist as well too, right? Same thing, it's important that I bring my story. I can't falsify what I go through every day. You know what I'm saying? I can't bring to you a false product that I don't believe in. I can never do that. You know what I'm saying? I can't front on Instagram. I can't front on social media about who I am. That's not, that doesn't sit right with me, right? And I have to be myself. So to me, if that means that I got to break myself down to figure out who I am and what it is that I'm going through in order to be better for the next person, that's what I'm going to do. Whether that's expressing myself with the way that I dress, with the way that I express myself to my friends, or just how I try to keep it real with whoever I'm around, that's me being myself. You know what I'm saying? I have to do that every day. And I feel like if I'm sitting there lying about who I am, it sits in my soul. You know what I'm saying? It sit heavy on me, and I can't have that happen. Especially too, you don't want to attract those kind of people either.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure that I attract people who are willing to admit that they're wrong just as much as I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? And just keep it real with me. Or when it is times that I'm not on the path that I should be, they like, Malcolm, get it together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need those people in my life. So I think it's really important to show up as yourself, whatever that looks like every single day. I think it's important to really stand on that and stand on who you are. And it takes a lot of time. Again, everybody's journey looks different. There's still so many parts of me that are hidden away that I keep, you know what I'm saying, locked up, and because I'm afraid of how it's going to be perceived by other people. And I still got to learn and push myself every day to be okay, you know what I'm saying, with letting those parts out of myself. So again, just being as real as I can. And you know, because again, somebody might need to hear that. Somebody might need that voice to explain what they're going through, or, you know, things, or to validate that. So I think that's really important. You never know who's watching. You never, ever know who's watching. You can have 6 views on a YouTube video, and that one of those 6 views might be somebody who really, really needed to hear what you had to say that day. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's important. I think it does. It serves a bigger purpose for, you know what I'm saying, something that you might not ever recognize. I've probably affected so many other people who I will never meet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The same way that other people affected me, a stranger then affected me, I will never meet them, probably never see them again. And I take what I learned from them in that moment, you know what I'm saying, every single day, because they decided to be themselves in that moment, or they decided to, you know, again, just be who they were. So I think that's important. I think that's really important to do.
Yeah. I mean, wow, dude, both these responses, bro, were beautiful, bro.
I appreciate
that. Like, that was awesome. And, you know, kind of like how you said, man, it's so hard to find real people nowadays, just that keep 100% real with you, people that hold you, you know, accountable. Like, hey man, you gotta lock in. You gotta do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not being yourself right now. All right, like, you know, be yourself. Like, you know, you don't have to act this way in front of other people,
right?
And stuff.
Man, all of the people who I have in my circle right now are there for me, whether I want to hear it or not. You know what I'm saying, man? You did this painting over and over, man. Switch it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you got more out of you. You know what I'm saying? Just dig a little bit deeper, or especially too, like me just thinking about basketball and coaching and all of that stuff, and we got to get right back on the line. You know what I'm saying? You got more in you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool just to have those people around. And again, shout out to them. Like, they keep me level headed. They make sure that they get the best out of me. This is much sure that I make sure I get the best out of them. So yeah, man, I'm loving it.
Dude, even like my mom, she'll always call me like when I first started out with this podcast, yeah, my questions weren't that good.
Yep.
She was like, you need to switch things up. Yeah. She's like, man, this is not doing it. I know you could do better. I know you could come up with better questions.
Yep.
And eventually, like, you know, like the past, I'll say six or probably like five or six episodes, they've been really good.
The quality is much better. Like, man, the people who really care about you are going to be there for you. They're going to knock on your door. They're going to make sure that you're good. And they're going to make sure that your head is on straight. So it's beautiful that you had that, man, for sure.
Always, brother. Me and you both.
Likewise.
Well, listen, it's a blessing to have you on this podcast, Malcolm. Hopefully you had a great time.
Yeah,
it was great catching up with you. It was great seeing you.
For sure.
My brother, my friend, man.
Always.
This is awesome. So I'm very glad that you took time out of your busy schedule and your busy day to come.
For sure.
Hop on
I
the
appreciate
pod.
That, man. I was looking forward to this. I really was. And it was more than worth it, man. I appreciate it. Love doing what you're doing, man. Keep going.
Thank you, brother. So that'll do it for this episode. New episodes every Tuesday. Make sure to like, subscribe, share. It's out on all platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. And yeah, that'll do it. So all right, peace.
Peace out.